before we look at these readings, let me try to explain my strange behavior. Those of you who have been coming to Mass might have noticed that after the opening prayer, at the beginning of the readings, I go over there to sit in the chair and I've been moving all around. It's because the sunshine comes through this window and it strikes the floor here and then it bounces up and it's blindingly light. And on Wednesday, I was so blinded that I had black spots. I couldn't even read the book. So that's why I was standing there. And then yesterday it happened again. So I moved the chair. And then today it happened again. And I said, maybe the Lord is trying to tell us something here. So maybe this is the effect of the word. It's so bright sometimes that it's disturbing to us. It's piercing to us, blinding us. Well, these scriptures today, but actually every day, the Word of God has this, it is a brilliant light shining on us, and sometimes we don't like it. Today's readings mention, I'll just highlight two things that stand out for me, the idea of fairness and the idea of righteousness. Of course, they're related. The first reading brings up the question of fairness, what's fair, and then the gospel speaks of righteousness. This question of fairness comes up in the reading from Ezekiel because the Lord says, if the wicked man turns from wickedness and pursues a good life, he will live. And if a good man turns away from all his good deeds and does abominable things, well, then he will die. And then the prophet says, you say the Lord's way is not fair. I think this is an invitation for us to reflect on this reaction, which is quite common. The Lord's way is not fair. It's not fair that I did so many good things, and then I do one bad thing, and all of a sudden, I'm condemned for it. Sometimes people get into this mentality during Lent. I'm fasting, I'm praying, I go to daily Mass, almsgiving, I gave big money to the Hapagasa, whatever, and then I lost my temper with my kids, and now I have to go to confession. After all those good things out, one blow up, or one terrible reaction, and now it's all lost. It's not fair. The prophet throws the objection back at us. You say the Lord's way is not fair. The Lord says, is it my way that is unfair, or rather, are not your ways unfair? If you want to bring up the question of fairness, okay, let's look at it, but let's look at the whole picture, what's fair and what's not fair. In fact, on Fridays of Lent, since Fridays of Lent we turn to the Passion, if you want to question fairness, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus in the Passion. Was it fair? Why did he have to carry the cross? Why did he have a crown of thorns? Why was he scourged? Why was he crucified? Was he guilty? No. Was there any reason, any just reason why he had to go through that? No. Wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. But he took it on for our sake. We pray the Stations on Fridays. Maybe you do. I love the figure of Simon of Cyrene because he's the one that has to endure the unfairness of having to help Jesus carry the cross. And it's easy to imagine his first reaction. Why me? Why do I have to do this? It's not fair. But, you know, the tradition is that as he helped Jesus carry the cross and as he came to realize what was going on, his heart changed, and he found himself realizing the unfairness was all on Jesus, and for Simon, it was actually a privilege. It was actually a gift. So this natural reaction of unfairness is something that we have to look at and get past the surface of it, especially in the light of Jesus' sacrifice. If something in our life looks terribly unfair, it might be from a human standard, yeah, there's a lot of unfair things. People suffer things that they should never have to suffer. But that's from our human standards, our human perspective. If we want to be free of the trap of identifying all the unfairness in our life, we have to step back from it and put it in the perspective of what God thinks is fair and unfair. We are sinners. What's the fair thing to do to a sinner? Punish. That's fair. It's justice. Only one sin? Yeah. One offense against a perfect, all-loving God? Yeah. That's really worthy of punishment. That's fairness. If you want to live by strict justice, well, then accept the punishment. If you want things to be unfair, in other words, if you want to experience mercy, well, then we have to recognize that the unfairness is all on God. He's the one who gets the short end of the deal. And we're the ones who get the benefit. That's why that experience of Simon of Cyrene is a good one. It looks unfair at the beginning, but the more you look at it, the more deeply you ponder it, the more you get to the root of what God is really doing in all the unfairness, the more you realize, oh, God is actually favoring me. He's actually using this unfair situation to change my heart. Let's look at the second idea that stood out of righteousness. This is a little bit more piercing. Because Jesus starts this gospel, this is from the Sermon on the Mount, he starts with this very shocking statement, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We have to be better than the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, maybe it isn't shocking to us because we think pretty badly of Pharisees. We think of Pharisees as the bad people. But actually, they were the good people in the mind of the Jews. They were really the holy ones. Fasting, prayer, almsgiving. They were always in the temple. They followed all the laws. They were pretty good. Most religious people, and I'm going to count everybody in the chapel now, including the people sitting outside. Most religious people have to battle the temptation of self-righteousness. We have to battle the temptation to self-righteousness. Remember, we pondered this last Saturday when Jesus called Levi the tax collector. And then he was sitting at the banquet with all these tax collectors and sinners. And who came along? The Pharisees and the scribes. And they said, well, what are you doing? What are you doing with them? Why do you eat with them? And Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. Now he brings up this question of righteousness again. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you think you can do better than the scribes and the Pharisees? You probably can't. Do you fast twice a week? Do you pay tithes on everything you own? Even if you do, that's not going to make you better than they are. And that kind of holiness did not qualify them. Jesus says, unless you surpass that display of external holiness, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What's our reaction to that? Well, that's not fair. That's not fair. we do the best we can. We do all these sacrifices and we still can't enter the kingdom. What is Jesus doing here? He's revolutionizing our whole idea of holiness, of righteousness. Righteousness is not something that we achieve by doing lots of good things. It doesn't matter how many daily masses we go to, or how many times we consecrate ourselves to St. Joseph, or how many times we pray the Stations of the Cross, or whatever good things, and they're all very good. It doesn't matter how many Lenten practices we take on, we do not establish ourselves or prove to God that we should be admitted into heaven. Righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. Righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. We who are sinners place ourselves as beggars at his feet, opening ourselves to his mercy. And it's when we do that that we surpass the scribes and the Pharisees. When we welcome the mercy of God, we surpass the scribes and the Pharisees. We're holier than they are. It's an interior movement, not an exterior practice or ritual. I won't go into this thing about anger, which is probably more the heart of today's gospel. It stresses this difference between avoiding external sins like murdering and the problem of interior dispositions, like holding people in contempt or being resentful or labeling people. Those things poison the heart. And that's what prevents us from welcoming the gift of God's mercy, because we are so preoccupied with how bad everyone else is. We don't admit our own sinfulness and ask for mercy. So here we are in Lent. Fairness and righteousness and the piercing light of the Word of God. If the Word makes you squirm a little bit, that's usually a good thing. If it makes you a little uncomfortable, that's usually a good thing. It's probably getting past that Pharisaical exterior of righteousness. It's probably making that wrong sense of fairness, exposing it to the light. It's probably the Word is challenging us to base our righteousness not on ourselves and all the good things we like to pile up, but on the mercy of God, the righteousness of Jesus our Savior, and the gratitude that we should have that God is so good to us. He's certainly not fair. He's overwhelmingly unfair to himself and generous to us.